Hallelujah. God isn't trying to scare us to death. Do you realize that?
That's right.
He's teaching us to rest in Him. So when things get really bad, you know, we're not to the bad part yet. Did anybody realize that? Things are going to get worse, the Word says. But we will have peace that passes understanding. See, we will be able to trust Him, because even if the buyer doesn't show up or the seller doesn't show up or whatever, we'll go by what God said instead of what the circumstances say. Amen? Okay. Questions? So just be on call if you want to help us unpack. We don't know what day it is.
I think the key is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and then when you come into alignment with His will, you're going to know it. And therefore, the word that you speak is like prayer. It says, if you ask anything according to His will,
that's right.
He hears us. So, you know, we just come into agreement with what God's already spoken in eternity, and it happens.
He's told me a long time ago, He wants me to be like a cow pony. My friend in Europe calls me the, what's she call me? I'm the cowgirl and she's the Bavarian maid, she said, taking the land. Because I'm always going, yoo! But He wants me to be like a cow pony. You know when they throw that lasso out there to, whatever you call it, lasso that calf? The cow pony's running, and then he knows right when to come to a stop, just a dead stop. And that's important for him not to keep running, right? And it's important for us to know when God wants us to run, when to come to a dead stop, so that He can get the job done. He does all the supernatural stuff. Yes.
When you began to say that, when you were talking before, the words in this scripture just came to me. The Lord had told me many, many times, from years back even, learn to be instant in season and out of season.
Good word.
As He calls.
Good word. And, you know, if we can just be in the right place at the right time, know whether to pray, keep our mouth shut, open it, or whatever. We can, that's what I call a miracle. It's just some human being is there, standing there at the right time. God does the miracle, and we just get to be the one that stands there and introduce it. Hallelujah. I want to do a little bit of introduction to how I think, some thoughts that I have about these times. I believe these are the times when many people are going into fear, and also the media is trying to make us go into fear. They're talking about a recession, as if there are statistics to confirm that there's a recession. But some research I did said we're only about 1% different from what we've always been. But right. They will try to manipulate us into fear so that we will move toward a one-world system, and that we'll be happy to go toward a one-world system, thinking we've got big problems that need to be solved. We've got problems, but I don't know if they're any worse than they have been, you know, at least as far as a recession goes. Hallelujah. We've got to just learn to hear God, and that's why I offer a whole course on how to hear God's voice, different levels on that, because I believe that's the most important thing. Of course, to obey Him, too. But to hear Him in the first place, that's what will give us peace. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank You, thank You, thank You that You have called us. You want to partner with us. You have chosen us. You love us with a perfect love that casts out our fears. I thank You that without You, we're nothing, but with You, we have everything. I thank You that there isn't anything that we need to be concerned about, but that we are seeking Your face, that we're hearing Your word, that we are in agreement with You, and we're learning how to loose ourselves from everything that's not You and bind ourselves to anything that is You. And we just commit ourselves to You. We say, Lord, we surrender to You absolutely. And if we're afraid to do that, that it will be addressed tonight. We surrender to You absolutely. And we say, Lord, anywhere, anytime, with anybody, at any cost. Because we trust You implicitly. There isn't any plan B. There isn't anyone else to trust. There's no one better, that's for sure. Anybody else we've tried to put our faith in has failed us at one point or another. And Lord, we just thank You that You would trust us to work with us, knowing how fallible we are. And we agree with You tonight that You have given us spiritual power and authority, that we are Your heirs, that we're bloods, we're royal. We have Your signature on the funds that we need. We have everything we need for life and godliness. We have no worries about you rejecting us because you love us with unconditional love and acceptance. We have no worries that would drive us to fear. And what we do have is we can trust you to give us words of knowledge, words of wisdom, even prophetic words tonight as I pray for each of you that want prayer, that you will show us any fear that remains in us. And we come together with the power of corporate yes. agreement to cast out every spirit of fear that's going to have to leave
yes, Lord,
by the end
Lord.
Of this meeting tonight, go to the dry, uninhabited places, and never come back. We say that every hex, spell, curse, or incantation, every astral projected spirit, every assignment against us, our pets, possession, and property, everything and everybody we care about are all canceled now yes. in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that every demonic spirit has to bow down to the name of Jesus. I thank you that we can take our flesh to the cross like we've learned in the crosswalk prayer, and we don't have to live in the same downward spirals forever and ever, but we can trust you, Jesus, to bring the bad seeds that we've sown to death, to give us a new crop to sow, and that we can sow and reap blessing and the rewards that we've lost and even the years that we've lost, and that you have called us to be overcomers and victors, and it's not something that we crank out, that you will do it through us, and it just can't get any better than that you'll do it all through us. And I pray that our eyes and ears will be open tonight to really get the vision that we're just containers. We're just like that melamine cup, just a plain cup. But what we have inside of us is the fullness of the Godhead in Jesus Christ, all the universal power that there is, that you can be everywhere and know everything and have all power, and you're inside us. And we thank you that you have just made it as good as it can be. And I pray that somehow we'll be able to get past our own self-consciousness and receive it and begin to enjoy it and praise you for it. We give you many, many thanks, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to give you some background on my thoughts about fear. Hi, Lou. If you learn to hear God's voice, life just gets more and more and more exciting. It's just absolutely amazing, I think, to think that God would confide something in us even before he does it. It's just amazing. I want to give you an example of that, and this isn't in your book. I'm going to talk for several pages. It's not in your book. I want to really book it tonight and try to get all this in. The day before 9/11, I felt this compulsion. You know, I've been sending out these weekly articles and sometimes twice a week for years. I felt this compulsion to put at the top of my article this animated thing that I found on the internet that was just awful. But God was saying, put it on there. And it was this steak, and it had this snake writhing around it. And I thought, oh, people aren't even going to wonder. I'm always arguing with God. People aren't even going to read this thing with this snake writhing around this pole at the top of it. And God said, ask the people to pray. For the fire of God to come and to purify. Mm-hmm. This is the day before 9/11. Of course, I don't know that it's the day before 9/11. I'm just sending out my weekly article. And I'm praying for the fire of God to fall and to purify our hearts so we'll be able to receive everything he's got for us. And I'm asking them to pray for it to happen around the world. Why, thanks, Mom. The next morning, before I can get to my Bible college class that I was teaching, they called me and said, have you listened to the news? And I said, no. And they said, well, you better turn it on, you know, so I'll be prepared, because all my students that show up, you know, would be all concerned about that. And I thought, oh, my word. I'm not saying I'm responsible for this. But I did pray for the fire of God to fall. And there was some purifying that came out of that. I think a lot of people went back to their old tricks pretty quick. But for a few days, anyway, we were taking life more seriously. Well, the fire came. These days, I have the same urgency, though. I feel like it's time for us to either believe God or quit blaming God, because he doesn't do through us what he does through somebody else. Even if we don't have much faith to believe God, even if we only have a mustard seed of faith, he said it doesn't matter. He'll take a mustard seed. Just say, I choose to believe God that the things that he's put in my heart to do, that he really will do them through me. It's never going to be about how capable we are anyway, or how good we can be. Now, it's better not to rebel, but I believe that enough is enough, that it's time to take back what the devil has stolen from us and to say with our mouths that we are going to be restored. Everything that he's stolen from us, that includes our family members, everything that's under our authority, that we need to quit believing that the enemy is stronger than we are, because that's not what the Bible says. We need to quit being afraid of cults. Now, I don't go prayer walking where I know some powerful cults are. I don't go prayer walking on their property or anything. But we need to believe that greater is he that's in us than in them, and pray with authority. We need to believe for healing in such a way that we're not begging God from some stepchild point of view. And we command the spirit of infirmity to leave us. We may have to stay at it for a while. We have to persist longer than the devil persists. But one thing the devil knows about most of us, we won't persist very long. And he can just outlast us. Thousands of people are being seduced into cults around the world. And each one of them claims that they're the fastest growing cult in the world. So my research hasn't helped me to know who is. But I know one thing. Christianity is still the largest. They call it a religion. I don't think it is, because that's man's way of reaching God. But Christianity is still the largest. We have a great commission to reach the world, and God wouldn't have given it to us if it can't be done. I believe that we have just started into a third great awakening. The wave is here. The move of God is here, and we can either step into the river, and we can believe that even things we've never been able to do before, if God wants us to do them, that he will do it through us now. We need to take seriously the direction that our nations are going in. Now, the people that are hearing this are from many different nations, but I can speak for mine. When you watch movies like The Manchurian Candidate that say certain people have been programmed with mind control, don't tell yourself that that stopped a few decades ago. It has not stopped. I'm not sure how much difference it makes who we vote for. There are so many. I can't even go to this subject. I know a lot about it, but I can't even go there. There's so much to say about how the one world order is controlling everything and trying to motivate us into a panic so that we'll receive their plan. But when I watch movies like that, from all the people that I've worked with that have had programming and mind control, I'm very aware that it's real. It's not just a movie. They intend to program everybody that's going to be in leadership and be able to control them all. The weapons of our warfare, though, are not carnal. They're spiritual.
Right.
When I'm trying to get you to pray and speak out and declare the word of God as a way of life, it's not just for this course. We're going to need to have so much word in us that whether we can quote it just right is not the point. That we will constantly be agreeing with God, or we will go into fear ourselves. We need to see ourselves as the mighty warrior, or I call myself a war bride. Not that I stay home while somebody else goes to war. It's just a phrase I like, the war bride. We need to see ourselves as God's called us to be mighty warriors. And it doesn't mean that in the natural we're some Rambo, but I believe in the spirit I am. I believe in the spirit that I have the capacity to be stronger in a way than almost any man I know. You know what I'm saying? The spiritual strength is what's going to count. It's what's going to keep us from going nuts. Things get worse. We need to develop our spiritual gifting and believe that God's going to give us opportunities to be mentored and trained and whatever. I was just sitting in church a couple weeks ago and I was thinking, you know, this would be an ideal area to have a recovery from abuse class. I can see a need. Or just recovery.
Right.
You know, half the people around are in recovery of some kind. And I love doing those classes. We need to have that perspective that we get our minds off of ourselves and our incapabilities and what we lack, you know, and the imperfections that we have, and begin to give what we've got. Because each one of us in this room and each one listening to this, you're ahead of somebody on something. We need to help each other and give each other what we've got. See, in the Bible, God has many names. But the descriptive name of God that's used more than any other, I think it's 244 times in the Bible, is Lord Sabaoth. I should have brought that song. We could have played it. One of my favorite worship leaders, I'll get that poem on the website, has a song that we did hand motions to it, and it was Lord Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, mighty warrior, you know. And we would all get into this, and the men would kind of get into, they weren't really marching, but they would go up and down all together, you know, like a real army, you know, would do the same, all the same thing. And we would get into this militant mode that God doesn't want us to continue to do what the world calls politically correct. We need to be spiritually correct,
right,
and be taking back and believe that, yes, as we declare,
yes,
it, we're not going out punching people in the nose. The Bible says our weapons are not carnal. What does that mean?
Natural.
Yeah, they're not just natural. We're not going out trying to beat everybody up. We know who our enemy is. And who is our enemy?
Satan.
It doesn't even matter if you're in a real war. To an extent, those other people might be your enemy. But a real enemy is Satan. He's the one that's been lying to us and deceiving us. We're promised that our life is hidden with God, and we can pray hiding prayers too. We can pray that we will be hidden from the enemy. I need to do this more consistently, remind me. That we can be hidden from the enemy. We can be stealth. You know, like stealth bombers? We can be stealth. I believe that it's important for intercessors to pray that they will be stealth. They will be hidden. So we're hidden in the secret place of the Most High. We can cover everything we do with the blood of Jesus. You can pray protection prayers. If you don't have one, pray like I've been praying every week. And we can fight boldly because the blood of Jesus covers us. And if I haven't seen it before, I've certainly seen it this year, working with people in Europe and under the European Union and all those big, big, big spirits over there. I thought they were bad here. And I'm seeing how every demon has to bow in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how big and terrible he thinks he is. And what they don't want us to know is that they really do have to bow in the name of Jesus. Now, the important thing, too, is that we clean our houses out and not only confess all our sins and our ungodly beliefs and all that I could teach you more about in another series, but we need to clean our houses out. Anything you've got in your house that represents ungodliness, that represents spiritism, some other cult or religion, it's got to go. It's got to go. You have open doors to the enemy, and you can't do warfare like this without getting beat up. Unless you clean it out of your house. You can't have both. You will get beat up. So, sometimes God will allow things to happen to show you something that's in your house that you didn't know. I was injured and had to have surgery on my foot, so I'm laying up in my guest bedroom, and I saw a Playboy cup sitting on my bookcase. How in the world did that get there? It was embossed on a black cup, so I didn't notice until I was still. Somebody had put it there, planted it in my house. I do not want an open door to immorality, seduction, porn, or anything else in my house. It had to go. And the Bible says, destroy them. It specifically does not want us to just throw these things away because then somebody else will get it. And it will hurt them. We need to destroy them. If you find it difficult to destroy it, like it's, you can't really cut it apart. We were given a globe once that, you know, is just like paper mache or something. There's not much to a globe. We had to douse it with gasoline 7 times. Did we take an axe to it or what? We couldn't. It was very hard to destroy the thing. It wouldn't light. That proved to me for sure. That gift was a plant from the enemy. When you can't burn it up, it took 7 times of trying to set it on fire. We need to get serious about being mighty warriors that have no open doors in our life. That's why we're going through the strongholds course. We need to get serious. If you've got a little bit of resentment, get it to where it's no resentment, or you'll get shot. So our goal is not just to occupy, but to take back more and more and establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. To learn to walk in our spiritual gifting. If you say, well, I'm too shy, then give your shyness to God. Plug it right into the crosswalk prayer and say, God, this shyness has been coming between me and serving you. And expect God to do something about it. Did that fit anybody?
Yeah, sure.
That's for me with the singing thing. That's the only area of my life I think I'm shy in. But the Spirit of God is upon us, and He has anointed us to set the captives free, to see people healed, blind eyes opened. And you might think, well, I'm the least likely, I'm the least equipped, or I'm the least. Actually, that's a wonderful position to be in. God doesn't use proud people. they don't get credit for it anyway. It's wood, hay, and stubble if He's able to use them anyway. But He loves to work through humble people that know but it's all Him. So we're learning to tear down strongholds. Our assignment is clear, that we're supposed to fulfill the Great Commission. We're supposed to be taking back what the enemy has stolen. Can you think of some areas in this town that the enemy has stolen? I know of a bunch of little old ladies in New Jersey that got together and they went and sat in casinos and other places on this bad strip in town. That bad strip, and they didn't cause any problems, didn't try to talk anybody out of it or, you know, share Christ or anything. They just sat there and prayed. That bad strip is now a city park. The whole thing closed down. We can do so much more if we will pray and believe. So the Lord is teaching our hands to fight and our fingers to war, the Bible says. And for each one of us, that might be different, but God will show us what it is. So it's time to go in, to believe that God is going to provide whatever ingredients we need, whatever equipping. And the main thing is to hear Him and to believe He will do it through us. We need to identify where we are. You can't start from somewhere else besides where you are. We need to identify where we are and say, God, I'm willing to get going, and here's where I am. I've got this, this, and this I need to work on. And the Holy Spirit will be glad to tutor you and help you, give you custom training. It's like a pilot, if he wants to pretend that he's further along, maybe got started late or something, and he gives the control tower the wrong coordinates, will he get to his destination? You can't fly from somewhere where you are not. You have to start from where you are, and God is just fine with that. It's not a problem to Him. Not a problem. We're all a work in progress. And so the article I'm going to be sending out this week is going to talk about whether you're at a place where you need restoration yourself. Maybe you need more healing and freedom yourself. Most of us do. Or whether you're at a place where you can be trained to minister to other people, and you're safe enough to minister to other people. Or whether you actually are ready to be mentored. Maybe your pastor would like to mentor you, and you haven't been sure about it. Because when you're mentored, then you have to be willing to receive correction. He would want to be honing down some areas that still need some polishing. Show you where character can be built. And all along, you're getting empowered to minister to others. But we all need polishing. Some fine points, some rough edges. And I just wanted to give you that little pep talk because I believe that God wants to use every last one of us. See, I was trained and went to ministry training school down south where they believe in the saints movement. And that means that every last one of us, no matter how unlikely we look, God's going to use every last one of us. And my experience, He used the most unlikely people the best because His values aren't like ours. My evangelism partner when I was about 22 was a person that had a very low IQ, could not read the four laws to them. But you know, they had to pay attention because they had to help her read it to them. And I used to say that if she witnessed to four people, five received Christ. She had 110% results. And I don't think they were just trying to make her feel good. Because God made me aware that nobody received Christ when I was sharing. It was so lopsided, and He was showing me it is not about our ability. Just get over it. It's about just being available to Him, right, saying, I got nothing to offer you, but if you can use nothing, as Catherine Kuhlman would say, use it. Does that make sense? You just can't get anywhere with God saying, like Moses, I can't talk. He'll give you Aaron if He's got to. But He won't take the calling back. The gifts and callings are without repentance.